Well, tonight we come to the third message in the line of the revelation of the mystery.
Amen.
Amen. And if you open to your books, let's see. It's on page 67. Amen. Have you been enjoying the college training?
Amen.
Me too.
Amen.
It's been a marvelous, marvelous time, and I think the Lord has more for us in the next few days. But tonight we're on Ephesians chapter 3, which is a very important chapter, and nearly all the verses are crucial. But I'd like to start out with Ephesians chapter 1, 9 and 10. I think many of us know those verses. So if you know them, can you recite them with me? Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He makes in Himself, unto an economy of the fullness of the times, with all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth. Amen. These verses are precious and very crucial. And two words I want to underline for you tonight. First of all, mystery. Mystery. And secondly, economy. And I really was happy with how the Lord has unveiled these things to us so far. In that first night, our brother shared with us, it was so encouraging and so enlightening. God has a good pleasure.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
He has something in His heart that makes Him happy, that He desires, that is His good pleasure. And that was hidden. That is a mystery. His pleasure was hidden for throughout the generations and throughout the ages. But He didn't want to keep it a mystery, right? He wanted it to be made known.
Amen.
So that's why we have the title of our training, The Revelation of the Mystery. It needs to be revealed. And this good pleasure in His heart caused Him to what? To decide to do something. That to me is very crucial. You may have a good pleasure. You may have a longing in your heart. But if you never do anything about it, it's not just going to happen on its own, right? God has a good pleasure in His heart. He has a desire. And brothers and sisters, I would say, every one of us are in this room because of that good pleasure. And His good pleasure, His desire, is that what is in His heart would be duplicated in your heart. That we would be here on the earth, in the church where we are, in the local church, in the body of Christ, for the fulfillment of His good pleasure.
Amen.
What could be higher than that? What kind of aspiration can we have that is higher than that? We want to make God happy.
Amen.
We want to be a part of His good pleasure. And because of this good pleasure, He decided to do something, and that was His will. He willed to accomplish this purpose of His, this good pleasure, this eternal purpose. And for that, He needed a plan. So then we have this mystery needs an economy. An economy. That's His plan. That's His way to fulfill the desire in His heart.
Amen.
And what we saw Monday night was so precious. His desire was to head up all things in Christ.
Amen.
The things in the heavens and the things on the earth in Him. That was necessary because He knew even before the fall that man would fall. He knew there would be a heap of collapse, which was illustrated so wonderfully on Monday night, right? He knew that Satan would try to do something to frustrate His plan. And He would inject this poison into man. And there would be this heap of collapse. But He also has a plan. He has an economy. He has a way to overcome that. He has a way to accomplish His good pleasure. Praise the Lord. What a marvelous God we have. Full of purpose and full of a way to accomplish His purpose. And so in 3:9, which many of you, some of you recited tonight, in Ephesians 3:9, and to enlighten all that they may see what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God who created all things. So at the end of chapter 1, Paul prayed that we would see. He prayed that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, right? That we would see this mystery. We have to see something first. We need a revelation of what God is doing. Amen. And this seeing is with the eyes of our heart. Write this down. The eyes of our heart. Because in chapter 3, the heart is very crucial. The heart is very crucial. We don't just want to understand this and, you know, get the right teaching or the, you know, the correct understanding. We do need to understand, but we need to see something with the eyes of our heart. Amen. That our heart would be willing, that our heart would be captured, because our heart is critical. We have inner parts and we have hidden parts. We have a marvelous human spirit.
Amen.
Have you been enjoying your spirit?
Amen.
I've really been enjoying my spirit.
Amen.
Our spirit.
Amen.
All the brothers sharing on the line of the human spirit. Our human spirit, it ranks with the heavens and the earth.
Right.
It's too tremendous.
Right.
But listen, think about your experience. If your heart is not in it, you're not enjoying.
Right.
You can't enjoy.
Right.
You can exercise your spirit.
Yeah.
You can pray read. You can call on the Lord. But if your heart is not involved, you won't touch the Lord. Your heart is a gateway. Your heart is a critical organ.
Right.
Right? The heart is our soul, mind, emotion, and will, and the conscience, the leading part of our spirit. But I think you all know in your experience, you know, you may come to the meeting, you may be open, you may not be so open, but if your heart is not there, if your heart is somewhere else, maybe everyone else is enjoying the triune God and they're singing with their whole heart, and they're just, you know, oh, wasn't that a good meeting? And you go, yeah. But really, inside you're thinking, I don't know. I did, but, because why? My heart wasn't with it. When your heart is involved, then you, right? Your whole being is involved. So we need a proper heart. We need a pure heart. We need a clean heart. Anyway, our heart is very important. And we'll see more of that a little bit later. So we have these two words from Ephesians 1, 9, and 10, both of them also in 3, 9. We have the mystery and the economy. God has a way, right? So He carries out this purpose, this desire, by His economy. And His economy is the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
So, look on your memory sheet or you open your Bible to Ephesians 3:8. Let's read that together. To me, less than the least of all saints, grace given to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. This is God's economy. He wants to dispense the unsearchable riches of Christ into you and into me. And for this, Paul has a stewardship to preach the gospel, right?
Yes.
He has the grace to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
That means all that Christ is, all that Christ has, all that He has obtained and attained, all of this, including His experience as a man, and his human living and his death and his resurrection. This constitutes the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
And that is God's economy. And we often use this little chart, which I think is very good, right? God, in eternity past, has this marvelous pleasure, this desire of his heart. And from there, he chose to do something and has a plan how to accomplish it. And that is, first, to become a man, right? This is incarnation. He became a man. And then he lived on the earth 33 and a half years. A normal human life. Well, maybe I should say a perfect human life, a sinless human life. But he was very normal. He took care of people. He was very approachable. Whatever. And we heard from the brothers, you know, when he saw Bartimaeus, what do you want? I want to see. Okay. Just ask. Wasn't that good? I'm taking that away from this week. Just ask. You don't have because you don't ask. We need to ask. We should have a human life like this. We meet people. They have needs. We need to meet their need with the unsearchable riches of the all-inclusive Christ. And then he went to the cross, experienced death. And on the cross, we saw all the negative things in this universe were dealt with, right? Sins were dealt with there. He bore all of our sins. Every sin that I committed, that I will commit, that you committed, every sin that every person who ever lived on the earth has committed were nailed, were borne by him on the cross. And they're forgiven there. And the old man was crucified there, the whole old creation. And we saw last night, what a marvelous thing. All the things that divide mankind were crucified on the cross. All the commandments, the law of the commandments and ordinances were nailed there. And he, on the cross, created one new man.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is his desire.
That's right.
That's his heart's desire. He created man. Man fell. Now he wants one new man.
Amen.
Created in Christ Jesus. So making peace. You know, Ricky mentioned this conference we had on the gospel of the kingdom to all nations for the one new man.
Amen.
And I was involved there. I heard about this first conference in Houston, but I didn't quite understand the burden. I don't know, you know, if you weren't there, maybe it was a little difficult. But the brothers wanted to come to New York, and we were very happy to have them. We had this conference in Brooklyn, and I was involved in that. And I really saw something that weekend. Brothers, we need to preach the gospel of the kingdom to all the nations for the one new man.
Amen.
I mean, you just read the newspaper today, you realize how divided we are. By race, by color, by culture, all kinds of divisions. There's no answer to this politically. There's no answer to this socially. There's no answer to this except Jesus Christ coming again.
Amen.
And bringing in the kingdom.
Amen.
Right? And I told you that testimony. We had a woman in a gospel meeting asking, how are we going to solve all these problems outside, you know? And we were just talking about call on the name of the Lord and receive Jesus, you know? And we try to help her make this connection. Really, it's a real connection. If we will enjoy God's economy, eventually the church will be built and he will come again and all those problems will be solved.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we are here for this. We're on the earth for this. We live for this. We breathe for this. For God to finish his plan for the building of the church. Then, of course, he went into death for 3 days. Praise the Lord, death could not hold him. Death cannot hold the resurrection life. And after 3 days of giving death opportunity, he did what? He took the keys of death and Hades and walked out of death. And he became the life-giving spirit in resurrection, and he ascended. Praise the Lord for his economy.
Amen.
This is his economy. This is his dispensing, so that as the life-giving spirit, now he can dispense himself into us, right? This is his economy. This is the economy of the mystery. Because what he wants is to duplicate himself in man. He wants the one new man. He wants the church, his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. And how does he get it? Through his economy. He gets it by his dispensing. How does he raise us up out of the heap? By life. I love that. It's by life. What is that? That's dispensing. He's dispensing himself. He's pouring himself out. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but sometimes when I remember the first time I saw this, I was like, you know, overwhelmed. I had a marvelous 15-minute fellowship at the back of the hall that night. Brother Lee gave it the first time I saw this. In the Colossians training with a brother from Germany who spoke no English. And my German is non-existent. Except, you know, Guten Morgen.
Yeah.
You know. But we were talking about this in two different languages and pointing to things. That go, yeah, yeah, yes, yes. 15 minutes. We were enjoying the dispensing in different languages. We were speaking in tongues. I don't know. I understood everything he said, but I didn't understand a thing. But I knew what he was saying, you know. I don't know. Maybe that's the real tongues. But it's marvelous. It's just marvelous. God is a dispensing God. And he's dispensing himself into you and me. Every day. Even every hour, every minute, he wants to be dispensing and dispensing himself. The question is, are you open? Are you open? If you're not open, and you all know this in your experience, there can be a lot of dispensing going on, but we don't receive it because we're closed. In Luke it says, the hungry, right, he filled with good things. But the ones who are filled, he sent away empty. I'm paraphrasing. If we're full, meaning we're closed, we think we have everything we need, then we end up going away empty. But if we're thirsty, if we're hungry for him, if we're open to him, surely he will fill us. That's his economy. That's his purpose. That's what he wants to do. That's his, I don't know if this is right to say, that's his job. That's what he went through this for. You know, when I think about this sometime, I think, my goodness, our God was confined for 9 months in the virgin's womb just to get this one new man. I mean, we think we got hard things to do. I mean, that you're the infinite God. And you are confined. And even as in his human life, submitted to his... You think your parents don't understand you. What about his parents? They didn't understand him. Mary rebuking him. Well, where were you even? What do you mean, Mary? You went off and left him. I mean, they're the one that packed up the caravan and went off for a couple days. Oh, yeah, where's Jesus? Oh, let's go back and rebuke that naughty boy, you know. I mean, come on. Not only he never talked back to her, he couldn't even think it. That would have, right? He was sinless, so. His human life is an amazing thing. Not one day, not one sin. We can't go 10 minutes without something, right? I don't know, sometimes that just amazes me. But our God passed through a process.
Amen.
And he experienced all of these things so that when you open your mouth and say, Lord, I need you this morning, he's right there to fill you. He's right there to dispensing. When you say, Lord, I turn my heart to you, that is not a small thing. Not a small thing. I don't know if you've ever met somebody who's really a hard atheist or, you know, unbeliever. You try to share a little of the gospel and then they, what? Come on, that's ridiculous nonsense. They're so hard, you know. It's not a small thing for you to say, Lord, I turn my heart right now. I need you right now. Don't you think he loves to hear that?
Yeah.
And he's right there, dispensing, giving life. And you're being raised up out of that heap of collapse to become the one new man, to become the church that he desires. That is on his heart. That is what he wants to do. So we need to consider this. Are you open? That's what he's looking for. Open vessels. And not just open once in a while. He wants us to be open day by day, all the time, turning, eventually even abiding in him, right? Living in him. That is his desire. Now, all of the things that he is, I mean, you consider this, right? You have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The triune God is here, right? All that he is, he's light, life, spirit, love. God is love, right? All that he has, wisdom, glory, righteousness, holiness, many other things that he obtained, he has to give to us. And all that he can do, he can call things not being as being. How old are you, Nathan?
18.
When will you be 19?
November.
So in February, 19 years ago or 18 years ago, he called Nathan being into your parents. He decided you would be born. He called not Nathan into Nathan. Right? Before that, there was no Nathan. And then he said, okay, I think I need Nathan now. And called Nathan into being. I mean, life's a miracle, right? I mean, we can't create a person. This is God's. Only God can give life, right? He calls things not being into being. He also gives life to the dead. Resurrection life. When we're down, when we're low, oh Lord, I need you. He just resurrects us from our dead condition. These are just some of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And then all he has experienced is human living. You know, we need a proper living for the church life. We saw this in the past training. The standing boards of the tabernacle. The strength is in the acacia wood. And there needs a lot of gold to overlay it. We need a lot of dispensing of God. But still, the strength of holding up that tabernacle is the standing boards of acacia wood. And that represents the humanity of Christ. But it also represents the members of the body of Christ. We're joined together and we're overlaid with gold. We have a humanity and we also have the divine nature. But that humanity can be experienced by us. We can experience the humanity of Christ. We can be the proper student because we have Christ in us as the proper humanity. We can be the proper sons and daughters in our family. Why? Because we have Christ as the proper humanity. We can be the proper parents because we have Christ as the proper humanity. All of the elements, a proper worker on our job, whatever kind of job you do, it's because of Christ's humanity. That's part of the life-giving Spirit. When you turn to the Lord, you get the proper humanity. Not only you get resurrection life, you get the proper humanity. Now, I think I can say this honestly. My wife and I don't fight. But sometimes we disagree about things. And, you know, sometimes she may say something that kind of jabs you a little bit. And the normal reaction or the natural reaction is that, oh, yeah, well, let me just wait about, you know. We want to say something right back. And I have had this experience too many times. You want to say something. But if at that time I just turn to the Lord, amen, that feeling to say something gets crucified. The cross is in the Spirit. And the proper humanity then, I experience the proper humanity, which is not to say anything. Now, if at that time you call on the Lord like, oh, Lord Jesus, that won't help. You don't want to do it, you know. That'll get you in more trouble, I'm afraid, yeah. Don't call on the Lord now, you know. But just inwardly, you open, what happens? Dispensing. Dispensing. And oftentimes, we don't even know what we need at that time. I mean, I'm not thinking about, okay, now I'm going to yell at her right now, so I need the cross of Jesus. Lord, please, give me the cross. I don't think of it that way. I just go, oh, Lord. Just a little calling within, whatever I need is there. It's the same with all of us. Why? Because when you turn, you get the unsearchable riches of Christ. They're untraceable. They're innumerable. 1 Corinthians 1:9 footnote has like 20 items that Paul uses to describe this unsearchably rich Christ to the Corinthians for their situation. But that's not the end of the list. I mean, it's unsearchable what Christ is. And on the one hand, it's good to know all what he is and what he passed through. On the other hand, you don't really need to know all the details. We just need to remember to open. Open and turn to him that he could accomplish what he needs to do. He has a heart's desire. And he wants to duplicate that in your heart. And the way he does that is by dispensing. His goal is the builded church. His goal is in the next verse in Ephesians 3, in chapter 3, verse 10. Okay, so in verse 8, Paul is announcing the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. Verse 9, to enlighten all. The gospel is to enlighten all, that they may see what the economy of this mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God who created all things. In order that when?
Now.
That's a very important word. Wow. He's doing all of this in order that now. To who?
To the rulers.
Now to the rulers and the authorities. Where?
In the heavenlies.
In the heavenlies. Who's that?
Satan.
That's Satan. That's all the evil rulers. Of course, the angels see it too, but mainly this manifestation is to the devil, right? In the heavenlies, what? The multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church. Circle Ephesians 3:10. This is the issue. This is the goal of the economy of this mystery, is that now, today, right now, on the earth, in the church in Amherst, in the church in Cambridge, in the church in Piscataway, in the church in your city, now the multifarious wisdom of God would be made known to the principalities and powers. This is a very crucial verse in Ephesians chapter 3. This is image. Right? This is Genesis 1:26. God's intention, His desire in creating us in His image was so that we, as this one new man, would express Him. And to make known the multifarious wisdom of God to those principalities and powers is just that. It is the fulfillment of Genesis 1:26. How many of you play chess? I like chess. I used to play chess a lot when I was younger. And one thing I like about chess is that it is multifarious. There's an opening, there's a mid-game, there's an end-game. And if you really study the game and you like to play it and you play it a lot and you even study other people's games that have been played, you start to figure out how to make it look like you're losing, but actually you're winning. And in the end, it's just one move, checkmate. And the best thing about chess is when you surprise your opponent with checkmate. If they know it's coming, it's no big deal. It's when they don't know it's coming that it's a really big deal. No, I can't be checked. No, no. And then they look at, wait. Yeah, you win. When I read this verse, that's all I think about is, you know, God is saying, okay, Satan, checkmate. You want to spoil them? You want to put them in the heap of collapse? It's okay. I'm just going to live them for a while. I'm going to live them. And they're going to raise up. And I enjoy that illustration so much because he didn't let him get all the way up right away, right? He said, oh, just a little bit. Because it doesn't happen overnight, brothers. Yeah. It is not overnight. Transformation is your entire life long. Amen. This is not instant miso soup. It is not. It's not cup of noodles here. This is not just boil some water, put it on there, and you got dinner. No. This is lifelong. And it's daily dispensing, bit by bit, little by little, opening, turning, falling, repenting, opening, turning. It's all of the above. Yes. But be assured, I hope to encourage you, have the faith, it works. Amen. It will be checkmate. Even, I don't know, I feel, of course we don't have any, you know, but I feel even whenever the church is expressing the Lord, Satan is, what am I going to do now, you know? Look at that. They're enjoying God there in the Amherst. So he will attack. Don't be surprised. The brothers told us, right? If he doesn't attack, then we should be worried. If he doesn't resist, then we should think, what are we doing? If he's attacking, we should say, praise the Lord, we're on the right track. We're on the right track. Amen. So, all of this is happening. What do we need to do, brothers and sisters? What should we do? Okay. It may sound simple, but I think it really is quite profound. We must pray. And we must pray the prayer in Ephesians 3 that Paul prayed. Amen. At the end of the chapter. End of chapter 1, he prays for our to have vision, to have revelation, what God is doing. But, okay, what is the greatest prophecy in the Bible? You don't sound real confident about it. What is the greatest prophecy in the Bible?
I will build my church.
And the verse is?
Matthew 16:18.
The church must be built or builded. On the day of Pentecost, the church came into existence, but it still needs to be built, which means this triune God in his economy needs to build himself into us, which is experience. So his prayer in chapter 3 is for us to experience Christ. That's what you need to write down. The church, for the church to be built, we must experience Christ. More than just being saved initially. We must experience him daily. We need to deal with him. Go to him. Come to him. We need to spend time with him. We need to receive the shining. Some things, if we get involved with the world, we need to deal with the world if we want to grow. If we get involved and trapped in a sin, we need to deal with that sin to grow. So sometimes it takes some dealing. It takes some time. And we need companions to grow. That's why we have this line of twos and threes. We are not meant to be Lone Ranger Christians. I don't know if you understand that. But, you know, the Christian life is not Captain America and whatever. It's a corporate life. We need one another. You know, I can't make it without the brothers. I can't make it without you, saints. We need one another. And it's not just that, you know, we need others of our own age. We do need others of our own age. But we need some older ones to be our companions. And we need to take care of some younger ones. And they become our companions. I think you've all experienced this. When you get shepherded by someone, if you ask them, they'll say, they got shepherded by you. And I don't know how many times I've gone to the hospital when I've heard somebody got sick or they're, you know, some are even gravely ill, and you go to the hospital to try to encourage them, and what happens? I get encouraged. I don't encourage them. I get encouraged. I realize in that terrible sickness, they're enjoying the Lord. I'm like overwhelmed, like, how could this happen? It's wonderful. But anyway, this is the crucial point in chapter 3, and this is why Paul prays in this way. Because we need to experience this unsearchably rich Christ. It's very subjective. It's very intimate. It's organic. The experience of Christ is really organic. It is enjoying this God-man person and being filled with him. And when that is happening, we are being transformed. We are being transformed. So, how about we read the prayer, or you probably can recite it. Ephesians 3. You know what? I'm sorry. I'd like to add 14 and 15. So let me read 14 and 15 to you, and then we can all start reciting together. You may already know 14 and 15. For which cause I bow my knees unto the Father, of whom every family in the heavens and on the earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth, length, height, and depth are, and to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. What? You're going on? But to him who is able to do super abundantly above all that we ask or think, to the power which operates in us, To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all the generations
forever and ever. Amen.
What a prayer. We need to pray this every day.
Amen.
Lord, strengthen me.
Amen.
Actually, you look at this prayer. It's amazing. The triune God is here.
Yes.
To the Father, right?
Amen.
I bow my knees to the Father.
Amen.
That he would strengthen you by the Spirit, right? Strengthen you with power by the Spirit into the inner man, that who? That Christ would make his home in your hearts through faith. Okay. So this is a very important prayer. So now Christ is here in our spirit, right? And we heard this week, of course, this Christ in our spirit is the fullness of the Godhead. The triune God is in our spirit. But he doesn't want to remain a prisoner there. He wants to spread. So our soul has three parts, right? Mind, emotion, and will. And then we also found that we have conscience, intuition, and fellowship. So our heart includes the conscience. So somehow we'll put that here, our conscience. So this is our heart. He is in our spirit, but he wants to spread to all our inward parts. And he wants to spread from the spirit into our mind, into our emotion, into our will, even through our conscience, into our soul. He wants to spread and make his home. This is a very important phrase. The goal is the church, right? Unto him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. The goal is the church. And the church, one aspect of the church, is the dwelling place of God in spirit. This is God's dwelling place. Your spirit, plus he wants to spread into your whole being. Actually, not just to transform the soul. This is the stage we're in. Eventually, when he comes, or we go to be with him, he will glorify the body, right? Even our body will be glorified. He wants to save every part of our tripartite being. But today, our need is to be transformed in the soul. Our need is for Christ to make his home in your hearts through faith. And as was mentioned earlier, it's as if our being is a 50-room house, you know. And he wants to spread into every room. He wants to occupy every part. He wants to saturate every area, every room. He wants to permeate every room in our heart. But if you're like me, there's some areas where you don't want him to touch. You're okay. You come to the Lord. You come to the meeting. You come to the conference. Lord Jesus, I love you. I give my entire being to you. But actually, I don't mean that. But anyway, I think I mean that. It's not that we're calculating, you know, when we're saying, I give my whole being to you. And then in the back of my mind, we're thinking, oh, no, I'm not. No, we don't think that way. I think actually our intention is really pure. I give my whole being to you.
Amen.
But when push comes to shove, when he comes to touch that, that room. Or I remember the first time I was struck with this word was the brother was talked about a closet that we've got, you know. Yeah, you can come into my bedroom, but don't go in the closet. We're hiding something somewhere. We're holding on to something. And for every one of us, those are different things. And it's different for you now at 20 years old than it will be for you at 50 years old. But nevertheless, Christ, God wants Christ to make his home in every part of our heart.
Amen.
So the question remains, are you open? And will you open? It does take a consecration in the beginning. You know, it does take us saying, Lord, I give my whole being to you. That's wonderful. Then it gives him permission to shine on the closet. I don't think he would, you know, if you don't give him permission, he won't even mess with it, I don't think. But once you give him permission, then some things eventually come up. And sometimes it's not so easy. It's a struggle. And I hesitate to give examples because you can't cover everything. Yeah. Brother Lee in the life study doesn't touch specifics, but he does touch the principle. He wants to make his home in every part of our heart. And when that happens, when he has a group of people who have opened themselves to such a degree and who daily are in this experience of Christ and allowing him to spread and to make home and willing to give up things and to open things and to have him deal with things, when he has a group of people who are filled to the fullness of God, then he has the builded church. He will come back. So brothers, I feel, sisters, this is a very timely word for us. You look at the world situation, you realize how much the Lord wants to come. And I've always had the feeling that the Lord will come in my lifetime, since I was a young Christian. Then, in the last decade, I thought, you know, I got cancer, so I thought, oh, I won't make it. But I got, my cancer's fine, so maybe I will make it. I don't know. But you will make it. You will see the Lord come again. And we love you. And we want you to bring the Lord back.
Amen.
And even according to the story of Noah, it takes two generations to build the ark. So we're not useless here. We're helping you. We're charging you. Come and build. Come and build. And to me, in the church life, the future is very bright. I really enjoyed all the younger brothers sharing. I'm so encouraged by that. The future is very bright. But still, the question remains, will you open?
Amen.
Will you open your heart, even every part of your heart, so that the Lord can get what he is after? Amen. We need to pray this prayer. Father, Amen. Strengthen me by your Spirit. With power into my inner man, that Christ can make his home in my heart through faith. That you having been rooted and grounded, this is a very important phrase because it shows this is growth in life. This is not just how does Christ make his home? He has to grow. It's an organic matter. It's a matter of life. So we need to be rooted. We need to be grounded in Christ. We need to let him grow down and to be a firm foundation for him to grow up. We need more growth in life.
Amen.
And the way we grow is to open, to give him the ground, to let him spread, to gain more life, rooted and grounded in love. Amen. And the result is that we would be filled unto all the fullness of God, which issues in glory in the church. That's his desire. That's his intention. He wants the builded church. And for this, he needs for us to cooperate and experience Christ day by day, little by little. He needs you to experience Christ in your biology class.
Amen.
And in your freshman English class. And in your graduate anatomy course. That's a tough one. And some of you are getting jobs this year. I was talking to a few, still looking for a job. He needs for you to open your heart and to let Christ spread into your heart on your job with a boss that you do not like. Hopefully you won't get one like that, but you might. The Lord knows what we need to cause us to turn. And you know, you need to keep a positive, I mean, I don't want to say this to be negative about, you know, growing up and getting a job and so forth. But if we're open and enjoying the Lord, it doesn't really matter. Good boss, bad boss, it doesn't matter. We're just there to gain the Lord. And that's enough. That's the best prize. We're there to gain more of the Lord. Well, how do you feel? Amen or amen?
Amen.
Should we read the outline?
Amen. Amen.
Okay, brothers, Romans 1. Let's read the title together. Experiencing Christ for the Building Up of the Church. Brothers. I would circle that, the church, and then underline the center, God's eternal purpose and economy. Sisters, A.
The church as the mystery of Christ was hidden in God, who created all things throughout the ages.
Brothers, B.
This mystery hidden in God, the church, was not made known to men in other generations, but has been revealed to the apostles and prophets in their spirit. Revelation in the New Testament age.
1:17 is Paul's prayer that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need to realize this is an important verse. We need to use our spirit to see. And the revelation is not like once for all. I saw the church, you know, 35 years ago, you know. No. I saw the church again this week.
Amen.
I mean, every day this week. Right? We need a constant spirit of wisdom and revelation, and we need to exercise our spirit. Okay, so who's up for C? Sisters or brothers? Sisters? Yeah, sisters, go.
God's eternal purpose, according to the desire of his heart, is to have the church as the organic body of Christ for the manifestation of his multifarious wisdom.
So this is Matthew 16, 18, his desire is the church, and I also have in my margin image and dominion here. This is the accomplishment of God's purpose. Brothers, D.
The church is the economy of God, is God's greatest boast in making known to the angelic rulers and authorities his multifarious wisdom for the shame and defeat of his enemy to bring in his kingdom.
What a marvelous point. A shame and defeat of his enemy. You know, I always think of dominion as we're going to bind. You know, we saw this morning in the twos and threes, right? Whoever, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I always thought, that's it. That's our dominion. But actually, just expressing Christ is the dominion. Just expressing God's multifarious wisdom. That's dominion. Okay. To defeat the enemy and shame him. Altogether, two.
The key to the building up of the church is the inner experience of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Ephesians 3:8 is there, the unsearchable riches. Then verse 10 is that verse on the church expressing the multifarious wisdom and then his prayer at the end. Okay, sisters, A. Brothers, B.
The unsearchable and untraceable riches of Christ include what Christ is to us, such as life, righteousness, and holiness, what he has for us, and what he accomplished, attained, and obtained for us.
Sometimes when we open to him, to allow him to spread in our heart, some light comes. I may not even know what I've got in that closet that I don't want to open. We need light. You know, sometimes we just don't, you know, sometimes we appreciate things that our friends are appreciating in the world. And we think it's fine. It's not sinful. It's just something they've been enjoying and they're doing and, you know, getting involved in. And we're thinking, wow, yeah, maybe I'll join that team or I'll do that. And we don't know anything until you open to the Lord and the light comes. What are you doing? You know how much time you're wasting with that? You know, I know a lot of the young people, you know, they spend a lot of time playing video games on the computers. And, you know, we brothers are concerned, mainly because it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's not that it's sinful. It's not that you're getting damaged. It's not the graphics. It's the time. It's the time. We heard someone talk about, you know, you spend 2 hours doing something on the computer. And I don't think you have that much time to waste. You know, you're students. You need to study hard, get a good education, and live a life for God's economy.
Amen.
Right? We need to spend some time with the Lord. So my point is, we need the light. Don't be afraid of the light.
Yes.
When the light shines and the Lord exposes something, don't be afraid.
That's right.
You may not be willing at the time, but at least we can pray, Lord, I don't want you to touch this, but make me willing.
Yes.
If this is going to hinder me from going on, don't forget, you know, keep reminding me. Make me willing.
Amen. Make me willing. Amen.
You know, when I came into the church life, and this may sound silly, when I came into the church life, I had a television. That sounds pretty normal, right? And we used to have this Monday night meeting for the serving ones in New York. Brother Benjamin called this meeting after the storm of 77 because a lot of young people were damaged at that time. And so he wanted to help to strengthen the young people's work. So we had this Monday night meeting, and I lived in Manhattan with a few of the young people, and I was the only car, and I drove to the meetings in Queens 5 times a week. It's only 18 miles, but sometimes it took an hour and a half because of traffic. But anyway, I would drive to the meeting, and that Monday night meeting was glorious. And we would go through a basic lesson. We were all kind of young in the church life. The church was reduced to about 100 people at that time because of the migrations and the storm. I think it was a little under 100. And in that year, 100 of us young people came in to the church life. And so we were meeting with Brother Benjamin. He was kind of helping us to serve the young people. Actually, we didn't realize until about 10 years later that he was perfecting us. He was really working on us. So he would give us this lesson, which was the lesson we would use Saturday night for the young people's meeting. And we had to memorize the 10 verses. We had to memorize a lot of verses. So on the way to the Monday night meeting, we would recite the verses in the car and sing hymns. It was really good. And then we'd go to the meeting and get infused with Brother Benjamin. And then we would drive back praising the Lord and enjoying the Lord. And then I would get back to my apartment just in time for halftime of Monday night football. I would get home and turn on the game. Oh, man, we're beating the Cowboys. All right. Go Giants, you know. And I didn't watch much television, but I like live television, okay? And football is live television. So anyway, watch television. So it wasn't too long, maybe a couple of months. So, you know, I would come back Monday night filled with God. And then after the second half of the football game, I would be void of God. Just dead. So it wasn't too long, and the light came. Why are you watching this football game? You enjoy the meeting so much. Just come home and go to bed, you know. It was hard. Oh, Lord, it's like, you know, that's I only watch Monday night football. So eventually, I prayed and I dealt with the Lord. Eventually, I realized the only way is to give up, throw away my television. So I gave my television to the meeting hall to use for the video training. Hallelujah.
Amen.
No more Monday night football. If we're not willing, you just tell the Lord you're not willing and he'll make you willing. After a while, I was more than willing. I mean, a few more nights of that deadness and you just get rid of the kick this television. So, don't be afraid. We just jumped up about 10 dB here. Was that on purpose? Anyway, don't be afraid. Just open to the Lord. Okay, where are we? See? Okay, good. Si. If you read Romans 8:29, you realize our destiny is glory.
Amen.
No matter what we're in right now, we're going to be glorified. Amen. So sisters, E, D, is it D? Yeah. I think Ephesians 3:10 is one of my favorite verses. It's just marvelous. Multifarious wisdom of God made known through the church. All together on three. In Ephesians 3:14 through 21, Paul's prayer is for the saints to experience Christ for the building up
of the church.
Brothers, A.
In order to experience Christ in a subjective way, we need to be strengthened with power into the inner man.
The experience of Christ is in our spirit.
Amen.
You cannot experience Christ outside of your spirit. But when you in your spirit, you are experiencing Christ.
Amen.
Brothers, B. Oh, no. Sisters, B. I love these verbs. Occupy, possess, permeate, saturate. Whole being with himself. This is how he is duplicating his heart in you.
Amen.
By permeating, saturating, occupying, possessing. We have. Then we love what he loves and we hate what he hates. Problem today is sometimes we hate what he loves and we love what he hates. But that's changing. Bit by bit, day by day, the more he occupies. Okay, 2:1. Is that brothers?
Since our heart is the totality of our inward parts, the center of our inward being, and our representative with regard to our inclination, affection, delight, and desire, when Christ makes his home in our hearts, he controls our entire inward being and supplies and strengthens every inward part with himself.
This is a marvelous point. Controls our entire being, supplies and strengthens every inward part. Wow. Amen. Okay, sisters, two. You know, we've heard this example before. I don't know how much any of us have practiced this, but you know that when we get dressed in the morning to ask the Lord, how's this shirt? How's this, you know, how's this outfit or whatever? It's a wonderful thing. He has a feeling about everything. So it's good to ask him. You may not know the answer right away, but it's good to ask him and give him the opportunity to saturate you, possess you, and to control even the way we dress. Are we up to the brothers?
Amen.
Three.
In order for the revelation in Ephesians 2 concerning the new man to be powerful in our daily life, we need to let Christ make his home in our hearts.
Remember last night, Ricky applied very much the new man to the person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Making the decisions. So this is what this is talking about. In our practical life, who is deciding? It's not what we do, it's who is deciding, right? Let's read C all together. The Christ who is making his home in our hearts is an unlimited, immeasurable
Christ.
Sisters, one. This is a very good point. Brother Lee brings this out in the life study that why does it say the breadth, the length, the height and the depth? This is because there should be three dimensions to our experience of Christ. We shouldn't be, is that right, three? Yeah. It's not that we're one, just one line. Yeah, he uses that phrase, one-liners. And he's used an example of there's a brother who was such a Bible student and studied the Bible so thoroughly and expounded on the Bible. And then he would take a break and go smoke his pipe for a while. And then he would come back and expound the Bible some more. His experience was just Bible study. Or the sister who was just, wouldn't read the word, but just prayed like night and day. Just prayed. And then she would fast and pray. And she fasted for 7 days. And the church was really worried about her because she was so, you know, losing so much weight. And they were concerned about her health. And they went to fellowship with her about, sister, you need to eat. You really need to eat. No. God will take care of me. I'm fasting and praying. And she died the next day. I mean, we can't just be one line experience. We need the length, but we need the breadth. Amen. That's the second dimension. Right? He uses a carpet like as an example. We need to experience Christ in his breadth and his length. Eventually, the height and the depth make it a cube. And the New Jerusalem is a cube, right? The tabernacle is a cube. We need We need a three-dimensional experiences. We need many experiences of Christ. And with all the saints, we can apprehend what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. And he also mentioned the height is first. Sometimes we think the depth is. But we need to go to the height and experience Christ at the height. Then we need that experience to deepen and be rooted and grounded in us. It's a good part of the life study. Okay, is it brothers on two? Everybody on D. When Christ makes his home in our hearts, we will be filled to the fullness of God. Sisters.
The fullness of God is the body of Christ as the uttermost expression of the triune God, the ultimate consummation of the corporate expression of the triune God.
Brothers, if we let Christ make his home in our hearts, we will be filled with the triune God to such an extent that we will become his full expression. Altogether, E. The genuine church life is the issue, the unlimited and immeasurable Christ personally making home. Isn't that word personally sweet? He's unlimited, he's immeasurable, but he's personally making his home in our hearts. Brothers, one. The content of the church is Christ, whom we take as our person, the Christ who is wrought into our sisters, too. Many saints to allow Christ.
Amen.
This is, will you open? Altogether on F. Eventually, by our being constituted with the unsearchable riches of Christ, God's glory is wrought to the church, and God is glorified in the church. Altogether on the focus. The key to the building up of the church is the inner experience of Christ. Therefore, we should allow Christ home in your hearts,
Amen. God is glorified in the church.
Hallelujah.
God is glorified in the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's pray for 30 seconds with our neighbor, and then we'll set up the mics for some overflow.